It's not my message, but I need to take care of some business about a word of knowledge that just came to me. Go to Mark chapter 11. Someone's in here is all tripped up over that speaking doctrine. Come on, I'm just telling you, someone's in here is all tripped up. Well, God's trying to help you right now. Praise God. Who cares what you think and what you feel? Who cares what I think and what I feel? What does the Bible say? But that's why I went off on a little tangent up there after it, because I know there's someone in here that's tripped up bad about it. I don't know who it is, but I know they're tripped up bad about it. But you know what? The word, the entrance of thy word brings light.
Amen.
Amen. In Mark 11, verse 23, people say, that's saying business. Really, that saying business matters? Oh, it matters.
Amen.
Now, this is what Jesus said. I love when people, they'll see something that Jesus said, well, I need to check that out. I don't know, I see it there, but I need to check that out. What do you need to check out?
Right.
It's the Word of God.
Yeah.
Therefore I say unto you, now remember, why was he saying this? Because he had just cursed a fig tree, and the fig tree changed, and Peter said, whoa, what in the world happened? Well, the natural changed because of Jesus' words. Peter was all shocked about it. You can read it on your own over there in verse 12 it starts. And then Peter said, what's going on here? And the Lord said, have faith in God, Peter, verse 22. And then he said, for verily I say unto you, he's talking about Peter, but then he says, whosoever. Well, guess what you are? A whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain. So he didn't say it just works for fig trees. He's talking about the natural, anything that's in your way, anything that needs to be changed. Money, health, family things, different situations can be changed. How? For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he will have what he says. Ah, that's saying business. What more do you need? Stop being so thick-headed and let the Word come in and help you. You must have been listening to somebody's voice. You must have been listening to something other than the Word, because the Word is clear about your words. Amen. In fact, if you weren't here Wednesday night, which you probably wouldn't be tripped up about this if you were here Wednesday night, because I preached on words Wednesday night. And it's very clear in the Bible. The Bible says if a man can control the words of his mouth, he can control his whole life. Amen. He said, just like the bit for a horse to controls the destiny of that horse, just like the rudder on a ship controls where that ship goes, your tongue controls where your life goes.
Amen.
Well, I don't know, Pastor. That say it business. If you can't receive the word, I can't help you.
Amen.
Amen. I can't help you. Praise God. Well, let's go on to what we have today. That was just an appetizer. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'm fired up. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 11. Let's go to verse 1. Father, we love you so much. We're just so grateful. Thank you for that word of knowledge, Father. If they'll receive that, if they'll say, yeah, you know what, I've had strong feelings and I've been mad about that doctor, but Lord, I see it. I'll do it. I'll conform. Oh, they'll be blessed. Father, we love and praise you and magnify you. We glorify you and honor you. We thank you so much for your mercy. We thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for your kindness. We just come humbly before the word this morning and I ask for help. Lord, I'm just a branch. You're the vine. Help us, Lord. As we begin to say things, may it be from heaven. They don't need to hear from me. I don't know very much, Father. I'm not very smart naturally. I don't have some deep thinking and theories and opinions and philosophies that I can help people with. But I have the Word, and I have a gift that you've given me. So, Lord, I thank you both of those will be in operation today, the Word and the gift. I thank you I will open my mouth and speak with boldness and utterance. And, Father, I thank you people will be blessed. Lord, I thank you you'll touch every heart, every mind here this morning with bullseyes from heaven. And Lord, we'll make sure to give you the glory. Lord, we'll make sure to give you the praise. Father, this is about you. Father, this ain't about me. This ain't about the name on the building. This is always about you. So we magnify you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when it comes to something like that, you know, the problem that people get into, I deal with it all the time. They feel strongly about a certain thing. They think strongly about a certain thing. Who cares what you think? Who cares what you feel? What does the Word say?
Amen.
Feelings, the Word keeps us safe from our feelings, and the Word keeps us safe from our thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I remember having strong thoughts about some of this stuff. Strong feelings. Why? I grew up being told the opposite, being told wrong things. And then finally you say, okay, I submit to the Word. If the Bible says that about money, fine. If the Bible says that about the Holy Ghost, fine. I had strong thoughts about tongues. I thought people that prayed in tongues were crazy. Well, I had to renew my mind to what the Bible said.
Yeah.
Amen. It's just the truth. That's how we're blessed. That's how the Word keeps us safe. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And again, I don't know who that word of knowledge is for. I have no idea. Lord didn't reveal it to me. But I'm encouraging you, get in line with the word. Start saying some things. Matthew chapter 11, it says, verse 1, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. He departed there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? John had questions, didn't he? What in the world was John asking this question for? He already knew it was Jesus. He baptized him. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. He saw the Spirit of Heaven come out of... saw the Spirit of Heaven descend out of heaven like a dove. Spirit of God, I should say, descend out of heaven like a dove, sit on him. And he heard a voice saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So he knew. So Jesus answered unto him, verse 4, go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have got the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who suffers not be offended in me. Now, what happened, we're not talking necessarily about offense today, but we are going to talk about what happens when people go through the fire and how all of a sudden they start questioning God and start questioning the faith message. Because I'll tell you what, I've been there, I'll share something here in a little bit about my own life, my own experiences. John here was preaching in the wilderness, paving the road for Jesus. He had the privilege and opportunity to baptize him, saw a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit of God in dove-like form, heard a voice from heaven, and now, because he's got a little bit, I mean, he's in prison now, so life's kind of turned upside down. All of a sudden, John has a job change. All of a sudden, John has a bad doctor's report. All of a sudden, John has something stirred up in his life. And what's the initial reaction of someone like John to do is to back away from the Word of God. Start questioning the Word of God. 7 years ago today, we were in the delivery room getting ready to see what I thought was my little peach, which was really my little bowling ball. So see this kid's cheeks when he came out. My goodness. Caleb was born 7 years ago today. And you know, it's a joyous day, an exciting day when she was scheduled for it came in, it wasn't scheduled for anything. Abby was a scheduled C-section, but went in there, you know, and was going to have childbirth, you know, without the C-section. And she was in labor for a while, and then when it was time to start pushing, she pushed for over 2 hours, and he wasn't budging. He had 9 pounds, 6 ounces. Tough to get that thing out. I was there. It's tough. And he wasn't budging. And it was an exciting time in the delivery room. It was a joyous time in the delivery room. And all of a sudden, you could just feel like a blanket set in there of worry, stress, chaos, and confusion. The head nurse who was so sweet to us. We just love her. She was so wonderful. And she was always so encouraging, upbeat. All of a sudden changed her tune. And the doctor changed his tune. And all the other nurses. And everybody's scattering. And I started to hear chatter. We got to get him out. We got to get him out. He's in the birth canal. He's not going to be able to breathe. We got to get him out. And all of a sudden, I'm being flooded. And so then all of a sudden I hear, we got to get her up to a certain floor or whatever for an emergency C-section. Well, when that was all going on, you know, my thoughts are being flooded. They took me in while she was getting prepped for the surgery, and they set me in a room outside of the surgery room, and I was there all alone. It was crazy. Like, all these people around, her parents were there, and then all of a sudden, I'm just alone by myself. And the last thing I'm hearing is, we got to get him out. He's not going to be able to breathe. And of course, you know, you hear stories and stuff and things and nightmares like that, and it's just all the thoughts are flooding me. So I'm sitting there. In a time of from joyous, John went from joyous, excited about the Word, to questioning the Word because he was going through something. Well, all of a sudden, I'm sitting there and we're excited about it. And I'd been praying over her belly and I'd been speaking faith and talking to that baby. And you're going to be mighty on this earth. You're going to be blessed, highly favored. You're going to be a mighty man of God and fulfill God's plan. To all of a sudden having imaginations and visions in my mind of, what's going to happen? What's my child going to be like? What's the deal going to be when he's born? And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, instead of doing the right thing, I took the wrong thing and did what John did. I started for a minute thinking, wait a second, Lord. But I thought you said in your word, and I would quote scripture. And I said, but I thought faith worked, Father. Because I had already assumed, because of the negative report that they were saying in the frantic pace and the chaos, that this was a done deal, right? I mean, I just went from faith to no faith because of circumstance change. And I'm thinking, Lord, I thought you said, I'm sitting there. And thank God for what I've been taught, and thank God for what I know, because it came up out of me. I thought to myself, what in the world am I saying? I said, faith is the very reason God gave us faith was for stinking situations like this. I hopped up out of that chair. Now the second time, I didn't do any hopping up out of that chair. In fact, I thought I was going to pass out. I needed crackers and juice. But this time, I just thought I was going to pass out. I hopped up out of that chair, and I said, no! He will be born perfect from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Nothing has changed. It might be a little different how he's going to come out, but nothing has changed. He's still going to be mighty on this earth. He's still going to be blessed. He's still going to have a sound mind, and just started getting into faith. But I know what it's like to be tested in a certain area and then start to question the word, start to question what you've been taught, start to question what's been put in your heart. I know, I've been there. It's like, whoa. So I want to help you with some of those things today. Why? Because the devil's always going to turn up the heat on you. Always going to turn up the heat on you. And Christians do this all the time. They look around. It's like the guy that was talking to my friend's uncle was talking to his nephew, which is my friend, and he was saying to him, he goes to a different church, you know, doesn't really teach faith at all. He said, you know, why in the world, if this healing business is real, why in the world are so many Christians sick and dying young? He was basically saying healing can't be real because Christians are dying. Well, my friend didn't say this. He said, next time we get in a conversation, I will. He said, I was held back to say it this time. He said, the next time I'm going to say, well, is it God's will to save everybody? And the answer is 100% yes, it is. He's going to say, why isn't everybody getting saved? Why isn't everybody going to heaven? If it's God's will, then it must not be God's will. If people are going to hell, it must be God's will for people to go to hell. It ain't God's will. And people do that all the time with prosperity. Well, if prosperity was real, we do it in our own lives. If prosperity was real, I wouldn't be struggling financially. Oh, if this faith message was real, this would be manifested by now. And we back off the word, and the devil says, yep, gotcha. I want to help you with those things. Because I remember being in those situations. And it's funny that when hell shows up at your front door, in whatever manifestation, whatever form, everything we've been taught and put in us, it's like we forget it. And we cower, and we get within ourselves, and we start to question, and we get offended, we get upset, and we just crazy stuff that we shouldn't do, like I did that night, instead of taking that thing head on, saying, no, I've been taught how to deal with this. Amen?
Amen.
I want to help you in the area mostly concerning faith this morning, because faith has some things to it that if you're not aware of the faith process, can trip you up really fast and get you doubting it, you know. And people do that with the faith message. They'll hear a message on faith, and we're strong in faith teaching. And what I mean is we teach it a lot around here. Let me give you a few examples. I just gave you one for me. I knew a family that didn't go to this church, went to another one of the churches. And this is no joke. They had a few children. I saw their one child have a documented hole in his ear, get prayed for by the pastor, and the thing closed up and it was like brand new, and the doctors gave them a signed report. We don't know how this happens. This is not normal. The child was older. It wasn't like something at birth that was going to fix itself. No, the kid was older and came up for healing. It was starting to trouble him, and he had documented, there's a hole there, and the hole was completely gone. The doctor said, we don't have a clue how that happened. The woman was told that she'd have a hard time ever walking again, got prayed for in a service. All her back pain completely dissipated and disappeared. They were told, I saw two miracles in jobs in their lives that when they absolutely were struggling, they both got jobs that were way above their qualifications that brought money that they needed, and they would testify about this stuff. This isn't just stuff you're wondering happened. This is stuff that they testified, were excited about, you know. And so they had a family, and they wanted to have another child, and they wanted to have another baby, and so they got into faith about it, you know, but they went to the doctor, and the lady was told, you can't have babies. Well, the kids that were from before were not hers. They were from a previous marriage before they were born again. They came together, and so she didn't have any children of her own. So you can't have babies. You'll never have a baby on this earth. Well, you know, that's why faith changes things. Amen? Yeah, you know, the Bible says if you want a baby, you can have a baby. Just so you know. Get in faith, you can have a baby. Amen? Jake and Heather, you know a little bit about that, don't you? They were told you can't have a baby, can't have a baby, can't have a baby. Well, I think they got a baby. At least I've seen a baby running around here that belongs to them. I think it's theirs, praise God. Hallelujah, it's true. They're told you can never have a baby. And so they've been learning faith. I mean, my God, that's what faith's for, praise God. Change the natural. So they got into faith about it. And she became pregnant, praise God. But they were believing strongly for a little girl. And I mean, they had clothes picked out, nursery picked out, name picked out, just excited about this little girl. Well, they went and had a sonogram, and it was no doubt it wasn't a little girl, and it was a little boy. And instead of saying, how many of you know you can look at any problem from two perspectives? You can look at it from God's perspective, and you can look at it from the enemy's perspective. God's perspective, the look of would have been, wow, we could never have a baby, but we're pregnant miraculously. What in the world must be the plan of God for this little boy? Yeah. Right? And if we want a little girl, we know we can have a baby now. Let's try again. That's one thing where practice is kind of fun. I mean, going to baseball practice, not so much, you know, doing other things, but I mean, just practice. Praise the Lord. I thought, that's God's perspective. You just had a little boy. What must be this plan of God for this little boy? Right? What must be this plan of God for this little boy? And didn't look at it that way. Or thought, well, man, let's have our little girl next. But God must have a little plan for this little guy, right? Didn't look at it that way. You know what they said? This church is not legit anymore. This faith message doesn't work. This faith message, because we've been saying we're going to have a girl. We've been believing we're going to have a little girl. Well, nobody told them they weren't going to have a little girl. Yeah. Amen. Life ain't over yet. Still young. But because they got the healing in the kid's ear, the back, the miracle jobs, the miracle baby, all was oblivious to them. They were blinded in their eyes because they did not get what they thought at the right time when they thought it was the right time. You say, how did that happen? It happened to John the Baptist, people. Yeah. Happened to me. I'm sitting there in that waiting room, or outside that emergency surgery room, thinking, "But Lord, I've been saying this for 9 months. As soon as we found out she was pregnant, I started saying it. I started speaking it, started laying hands on that her stomach and saying things and speaking things to that child. And now this, instead of charging forward in faith, backed off in doubt and unbelief and questioning and all these things. Amen. Amen. I've seen people do it. I've seen people leave churches that at one time they were excited about, you know, and leave the Word of God and the faith message. We're talking about the faith message. We're not necessarily talking about leaving a church. We're talking about the faith message. They'll leave because, you know, they're believing God for a spouse, and it hasn't manifested yet. Well, let me just tell you something. If you're believing God for a spouse, well, first of all, number one, the Bible says that's His will. If you want a spouse, you can believe God for it, and that's His will. Remember, whatever's His will, you can have whatever His will is. He said, he put Adam and Eve together. He said, he that finds a wife finds a good thing, right? He says that it's biblical, praise God. So if you want a spouse, you can get in the will of God. But here's the thing. You can take the one that God will put there. Of course, it's your choice, but God and the Holy Spirit will lead you and direct you of who to stay away from and who to, amen? Yeah. You can take God's person and the peace that you have in the Holy Ghost, or you can go out and get your own spouse. But the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Amen. The blessing of the world, go out and do it your way. Well, yeah, he might be good looking and he might make a lot of money, but you might never see a penny of it. And he might treat you bad and not love you like he should. Whereas God's person, they'll make the money, they'll look good, and they'll give you some, and they'll treat you good. Amen. Amen. It's just the truth. You can have it the world's way. You can have it the world's way. That's why can I just get on a soapbox? Let me find my soapbox. Oh, there it is. Just found it. It was right here. I forgot to put it here. Dating is so worldly and stupid and ungodly. Say, what do you mean? How are you going to get to know somebody? I'm not saying once you find the person, don't date them to get to know them. But Christianity should not be a crapshoot that we're going out and let's test the market and find out the world. If you have the Holy Ghost, and you do, He'll lead you in a direction of who to go to and who to stay away from. Amen. Young people think, well, I can't wait to get to a certain age to date. Why? And waste your time? To what? Get experience? That's not biblical. It's just true. I mean, that's the way the world does it. That's the way the world does it. But that's not the truth. That's not the truth of the word. Amen. It's just the truth. Praise God. And they left churches because they didn't manifest in time. Well, let's think about this. Let's say somebody really got into faith and is believing God for a spouse. Well, let's say, because the spouse doesn't have to come from in here. Spouse doesn't have to come from Olean or what. Who knows? Maybe the spouse is currently in California. Maybe the spouse is currently in Kansas. And all of a sudden, they're going to get it on their heart to go take a job in Florida. And that thing's going to ship them back to somewhere else. And eventually, they're going to end up here. You don't know what pieces God's arranging and working. But if you'll trust God and get patient, and people forfeit their blessing because it didn't happen when they wanted it. Hallelujah. It's the truth. So I want to help you with things to know in the faith process. Because if you don't know some things about faith, you get tripped up easy and start to doubt the faith message. And think, well, this faith message doesn't really work. We need to find out more about this faith message. And maybe nobody in here struggles that way, but I'll tell you what, in the future you may. Yeah. Number one, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. You know, it's crazy. That family I'm talking about, they couldn't say enough good things about the pastor in the church until all of a sudden it didn't work out for them the way they thought. And then it was just like, oh, I mean, just completely different people. Sad, 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 sad. I could go into more detail about it, but I won't. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Now, number one, now notice this. First thing you need to know about the faith process, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If you're going to be a faith giant, someone that's going to stay and succeed in the area of faith, you're going to have to know some things. That when you are in the process of faith, you are not going to be able to rely on your emotions or your senses as anything to tell you that it's going to come to pass. What do I mean by that? Well, go to Romans chapter 4. What I'm saying to you is your blessing may not be seeable. Your blessing may be nowhere to be found. There may be no evidence on planet Earth that what you're believing for is actually going to come to pass. You have to know that going into faith, because when you get into that faith process, and time goes on, it looks like nothing's changing, looks like nothing's moving, like nothing's happening. If you don't understand that, you'll start to panic and get nervous. This ain't working. This ain't working. And you start saying that, you forfeit. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 4, in verse 19, talking about Abraham, it says, and being not weak in faith. So he's going to tell us what a strong person of faith is by this verse and what a weak person of faith is. He said, he considered not his own body, right? Now 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now what are we talking about? The promise of having a child. Well, when it comes to a husband and a wife, the promise of having a child, the only thing that needs to be considered naturally is the father and the mother. The natural well-being, how they're doing, how they're, the biology of each person, what their makeup is, how they're doing, how they're physically doing, right? That's all that would matter naturally. But Abraham said, because remember, if we're going to look naturally in this situation, there's nothing to point to or grab onto with our sight or with our senses. Why? Because faith is not in the sight realm. There's nothing to grab onto. There's nothing about Sarah as a 90-year-old woman that would point to she's going to have a child. There's nothing about a 100-year-old man that he can say, well, this is why I'm going to have a child. No, it was all gone. And you say he didn't consider his own body. When it comes to faith, you have to realize that when you're in faith, there might be nothing to grab onto. There might be nothing over the horizon. There might be no light at the end of the tunnel. It might be absolutely look like it's never going to happen. yet you're still fiercely in faith, believing that it will. Amen. Amen. You got to remember, ladies and gentlemen, God is a God of suddenlies. Yeah. What wasn't there can suddenly be there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Number one, faith will not be seeable. Number two, go to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. These are things to know about faith, so you don't do pull a John the Baptist or pull a Pastor Mike or pull one of these stories I told you. That was just one of the times. My goodness. I'll tell you what, I was so squirrely in my thinking. Can I just get off on that for a second? Amen. You're looking at a former squirrel. You are. Former squirrel. Right here. So squirrely in my thinking. I had strong feelings on things. Very opinionated. And I'm so thankful that I had a pastor that slapped me up. Now, if Pastor Mike was here right now, he would say, please clarify what you mean by that. Because last time, when he did the dedication in the old building, I said, I'm thankful for a pastor that slaps me up. And he got up and said, you know, I didn't really slap him. But I mean spiritually, you know, just tell me stuff. But I'm also thankful that I know this, that the mark of a humble spiritual Christian is a correctable one, is a teachable one, can sit there and be told, you are wrong, and say, you are right, I am. And I'll tell you what, it took me a while, and I was hard-headed about some of the stuff, and it cost me a lot. It cost me money, cost me time, cost me health. But I'm thankful that I knew the Word enough that I didn't know everything, that I would be correctable and be taught and be taught. I'll tell you, I always use Jake as an example. There's other people I could use, but when Jake came to me, he was a mess, weren't you? I mean, addictions and diseases and wrong thinking and wrong living and wrong, I mean, he was part of the squirrel family. Yeah. We've since transplanted him out of the squirrel family. Jake was as squirrely as they came. Amen. He was. Because I'm talking about the former Jake, not the new Jake. Amen. And I told him from the get-go, I said, everything I say, make sure it's backed up by the Bible, because we ain't running no cult here. Make sure, because everything I say, listen to it, but everything I say, you're going to find it in the Word, and you'll find 2, 3, 4, 5 scriptures to back it up, like we do every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night. I said, you make sure it's in the Word, but if it is, and what I'm telling you, do it to a T. And he did. He did it to a T. And things started breaking off. But the point was, Jake would have never went through that deliverance had Jake not been a person. How many times, Jake, did you sit across there? I said, Jake, I know what you're telling me, but that is backwards. Too many times. I remember one time at the Beef and Barrel at Olean, man, I had a meeting with him. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to just shake his world up. Because he felt strongly about something, and I sat down with him. I said, brother, I just want you to know, I know you feel strong about this, but you're dead wrong. That's not what the Word says. And instead, now he might have had his feathers ruffled. He might have got a little offended, but he's still here. He still stayed planted in the Word. He saw what God was doing in his life. You're crazy to walk away from what God's doing in your life. I get boggled by it. People follow jobs. They follow retirements. They follow all this stuff. What did God do for you? Why are you leaving? Unless he tells you and transplants you. Don't go. What in the world? And I had that message preached to me so many times. And so many times I was almost out the door. And so many times I was so mad. But I'll tell you what. My pastor sat there and boldly said, you're wrong. You're wrong in how you're thinking. You're prideful. You're wrong. You need to be corrected. And I sat there and said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And now here I am. Still here. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what's crazy to me? Can I just say something? The job of the pastor is the one profession where the people that aren't the professionals think they know everything. Oh, we wouldn't even think of going into a doctor's office and say, you're wrong in how you're doing that. Oh, but with the pastor, everybody's got an opinion. It's the truth. It's crazy, the dishonor. It's crazy, the dishonor. People, you wouldn't go to a teacher, oh, you're teaching that wrong. Oh, it's just the truth. It's crazy. Such dishonor towards the things of God. And usually it starts because something happened in somebody's life. Man, this message was supposed to be preached, oh, let's see, what Sunday was it? The Lord interrupted it. I'm trying to remember the exact time of Sunday it was supposed to be preached. 4 or 5 weeks ago on Sunday, I had this message all ready to go. The Spirit of God said, no, no, no. And he does that at times, and I keep this off to the side. And he said, deliver it today. So we need to hear it. Amen? Just follow my spirit. It's been on my iPad for weeks now. And it's interesting how God does that too. You know, he'll tell me something, I'll get a sermon ready, and he'll say, not preach. I'll say, oh, thanks, sir. I was all ready to go with that, you know. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. And again, you ought to not be Kool-Aid drinkers either. What does that mean? You're not baby birds here. What do baby birds do? You can drop anything in a baby bird's mouth. You always back things up with the Bible. But I'll tell you what, around here we give you lots and lots of Bible. Why? Because that's what we want to make sure you know it's the Word, not me. Praise God. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says this, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How are you going to get the promise? You have to go through two things. Faith, but it's associated with patience. There is a waiting period, right, before the blessing manifests. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that time is going to go by, no specified amount of time either, where it looks like nothing is changing, but it's part of the process.
Amen.
Amen. In fact, it says in verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Faith's patience is not, it's been 2 weeks, Lord, where is it? That's not faith's patience. Oh, it's been 3 months since it changed. It's been a year and it hasn't changed. You're not patiently enduring. Patiently enduring is waking up every day saying, Father, I thank you for filling the blank. When the thought comes that it's not going to come, patiently enduring is saying, Father, I thank you for filling the blank. That's patiently enduring.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that Abraham, when he patiently endured, he received the promise. But you need to know that there's patience involved, that there's going to be space and time. That's part of the thing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know how many times blessings I believe, I mean, there's still blessings I'm believing for that have not come to pass. But I know better than to back off the promise. If it's in the Word or if it was spoken in my heart, it will show up in the natural. I don't know how at times. I don't know where it's going to come from or how the mountain's going to be moved. But I know that if I patiently endure, I will get my reward.
Amen.
Amen. So number one, faith isn't seeable. Number two, there's patience. Number three is found in Galatians. Praise God. And let me say this too, because I'm so careful to preach the Bible and to make sure that people are not feeling like they're being led down the path for the Kool-Aid, right? If you have questions, you know how many times I sat down with my pastor and said, Pastor, I don't see that, I don't understand it. But you know there's a right way to do it. There's a humble way to go and do it. Amen? Because I'm just telling on myself here how many times I just... People fell down in church, that ain't God. People pray in tongues, that ain't God. That speaking doctrine, that ain't God. I tell you, the squirrel, that's what the squirrel families do. We sit around and doubt everything in the Word. Laying on hands, that ain't God. Tithing, that ain't God. Offering, that ain't God. Pastor, I don't understand this. Why do you do this in the church? Why is this happening in the church? And then get an answer in the Word. Then I have a job to say, okay, I see that in the Bible. Doesn't matter what I think or feel. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is I encourage questions. I encourage people, if you're confused, why do you do this? Why do you say this? Why? Come, ask us. Amen? Because we're not trying to have baby birds around here and just blind people just following blindly. You know? No. That would be ridiculous. What have I always said from the beginning? Make sure everything I say is the Word. If it's not, don't take it. Who cares what I am? Who cares I pastor two churches and have Reverend in front of my name? Who cares what Brother Hagin says, Pastor Michael, Reverend Greer, Dr. Pastor Webb, and all these people? It doesn't matter. It matters what's in the Bible.
Amen.
And if you have questions or something, be honorable and sweet about some things and come find out. Let's sit down and look at the Word. But be a person that will actually sit down and look at the Word, and if you're wrong, admit it and change. Amen? I had a family that left me. They were in, man. I mean, they were solid. They testified in the middle of a service one time on Wednesday night how blessed they were. And they left because they said, Pastor, all of a sudden, this was the craziest thing ever. It was the day I got the keys to that building. I got a phone call from some of the most faithful people in the church. They said, Pastor, well, I should say it this way. I won't say the husband or wife, but it was one of the two. The other one, it was Wednesday night service the night before, hugged me on Wednesday night. Pastor, I love you. I'll see you Sunday. He must not have met that Sunday because I still haven't seen him. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he met this Sunday. I was looking around, but not the Ben's this Sunday. He must have met next Sunday. Yeah. Pastor, I love you. Yeah. I'll see you Sunday. It was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'll see you. I haven't seen him. Yeah. And so the other spouse called me up the next day, said, we're out of here. I said, say what? What are you talking about? We don't believe anything you say. Well, I know it wasn't we. Because you don't say, I love you, I'll see you Sunday, if you don't believe. Right. We don't believe anything you teach. And they didn't stop there. He said, or Brother Hagin, or Reverend Greer, or Dr. Dufresne, or Pastor Anthony. We don't believe any of it. I said, wait a second now. I said, what about? And I told them the time frame. I said, what about when you stood up in my Wednesday night service and testified? I had a vision one time in a Wednesday night service. You were there. And the couple came up, and I started laughing. You know, I felt bad. You stand in front of people and laugh at them. They kind of feel weird. Yeah. They were like, I could tell they were wondering, what in the world are you laughing at? I said, I see dollar bills over your whole body. That's all I saw in the spirit. It was the craziest thing ever. I can't make that up. That's what I saw, dollar bills over them. So then she starts laughing. I said, why are you laughing at me now? I said, that's what I'm seeing. I'm just relaying what I'm seeing. That's what she said. He was there. I don't know if it was on live stream or not back then. Testified out loud. Said, since we obeyed God to come here and be faithful and start doing what you've taught us to do by the word, we can't keep up with all the money. They're saying this in church. We can't keep up with all the money that's come in. That's a good problem to have. Amen. And they said, we think it's hilarious that you're prophesying that more's coming. Because that's what that dollar bill sign meant, that more and more and more and more money's coming. It wasn't even a year later. And that night, the night before, hug, love you, see you Wednesday. The other spouse called, we don't believe anything. And they ripped everybody in the family churches down. They ripped Brother Hagin and Dr. Dufresne and Lester Sumrall, Smith Wiggles. It was the whole message. Something got in there. Yeah. Well, what in the world? What in the world? Backing off the Bible? How is that possible? Well, what does the Bible say? Go back with me real quick to Mark chapter 4. I want to tell you something here real quick. Mark chapter 4. We'll get ready to close here. Mark chapter 4. I had one more point left, but I want to show you this. Look at this now. Mark chapter 4. This is why people back off the faith message right here. And have no root in themselves, and they endure, but for a time they're there. For a time they were excited. For a time it was good. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Look what the Bible says. Persecution and affliction are going to arise to get the word out of your life. Amen? So it's going to happen. All of a sudden, the word was great to John. Affliction and persecution rose up, and now he's questioning the word. What in the world happened? Well, people go through things. They go through things personally. They go through things in their relationships. They go through things at their job. They go through things in their body. They go through things in their finances. And all of a sudden, it starts to put the doubt in their heads. Because they're getting their question. Well, that's what the word says. Persecution comes to try to steal the word out of their life. You know what's crazy? Go back to me to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And we'll close on this point. Here's the craziest thing in the world. If somebody gives you money for the toll booths when you're going on a trip, when you pull up to a toll booth and you see, hey, $1.50 needed, do you whine, moan, groan, and cry and get frustrated and worried? How am I going to do it? No, you were already given what was needed to go through that toll booth. Before the trip, someone said, I know your route that you're taking. We're going to give you a bunch of money here. It's going to pay every toll. So when you come to the toll booth, you don't fret and worry and get nervous. Why do faith people that have been sitting in a faith church, getting faith pumped into them, just injections into their spiritual IVs, then when hell shows up, instead of charging through the gates of hell with full force and full faith of what we've been taught, we back up. Listen, the reason you were given faith at the beginning of the trip is because you're going to go through a hell toll booth, is what's going to happen. And when you come up to the hell toll booth, don't back away from it. Don't be alarmed. The only reason God put faith on the earth is to get through the hell toll booths. If there was no hell toll booths on the earth, we would not need faith. We wouldn't need it. He gave it to us at the beginning of the trip to get through it. So when hell breaks loose, doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. Doesn't mean that you're missing it. Doesn't mean that it's not working. It just means that God knew what he was talking about to put me in a faith church. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. People back off, man. The Word of God, it's crazy. I tell you, it happened to me more than once. Galatians, where are you? Oh yeah, General Electric Power Company. Galatians chapter 6. I mean, you think I know everything? I don't hardly know anything. And there's times that I'll be in a service and they'll say, go to this book of the Old Testament. I'll be like, I didn't even know that was in there. Where's that one? And go and look in the index. I'm just telling you. I say, Pastor, I'm just telling you. And the word about pride up here, man, I know I'm dumb. Praise God. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So number one, blessing won't be seeable. Number two, you have patience. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if. If. Your reaping is what? The harvest, the manifestation of whatever you're believing for. If. You want to see it comes to pass? It's all on you. If you faint not. So what's my last thing about faith that you need to know? You can forfeit. You can forfeit your blessing.
That's right.
You can be in faith for something strong for 6 months. Wake up in the seventh month. Wake up doubting and unbelieving, and you forfeited everything up to that point. You know, a football team, baseball team, soccer team, basketball team, they can play a game. And they can be enduring in that game. And they can go for the first quarter, the second quarter, go through halftime, go third quarter. And they can lay everything down in the fourth quarter and lose everything. They were awesome in the first. They were awesome in the second. They were awesome in the third. They were awesome for most of the fourth. And you can lose the whole thing if you faint. Because the Bible says, if you faint not, you'll reap. That means there's going to be opportunities to faint. That's why he said patiently endured. There is something called endurance with faith. You got to have endurance.
Amen.
Why can some people run 26.2 miles and I can maybe get a mile without having to stop? They got more endurance than me. Amen. Amen. They can go for the long haul. Faith giants go for the long haul. Amen. They don't get tripped up over time. They don't get tripped up over the natural not showing up. They stick with the Bible, stick with what the Word says, and they go forward with it. It's the truth. It's how it is. So you need to know these things about faith. So faith isn't seeable. Faith requires patience. And faith is something that you can forfeit if you don't patiently endure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's patiently endure. Let's not let circumstances, let's not let natural things trip us up to back us off the faith message. Oh, it hasn't happened yet. Faith must not work. Better check into this more. I don't know. Faith must not work. It's not happening for me. It's not happening yet for you. But if you'll stay with it, it will happen for you. Amen?
Amen?
Father, we love you today. We praise and glorify you. We magnify you and honor you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your help. Lord, for revelation today, for correction, if there was any correction, if there was any revelation, any direction, any insight, any questions answered. Lord, we thank you for it all. Father, I obeyed my spirit the best of my ability, Father, the best that I knew how. Lord, and I'm not perfect. I know I can miss it. But Lord, as far as I know, I did and said everything that was on my heart to say. So Father, help us to receive it with meekness. The Bible says to receive the Word with meekness. But also remember this, the Word's always corrective, the Word's always bold, the Word's always in your face. If any of those things happen today, just receive it. Thank the Lord for your help. Oh, Father, we bless you. Could we worship Him for a second? We love you, Jesus. We magnify you and honor you and praise you. Praise you and glorify you. Thank you, Master.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you, Master. Oh, Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus this morning. If I could get a favor from everybody in here, everybody listening right now, and everybody listening in the future, heads bowed and eyes closed. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know that the answer is a 100% yes, I would go to heaven. Well, just like, you know, if like a video game, you might need a certain number of points or certain bit of money in a certain video game to get to the next level. You got to have a qualifying score or something like that. You got to qualify for heaven. Heaven is not just, you have a part is what I'm trying to say, but your part is simple. Jesus did the hard part, you have the simple part. the two qualifications that you need to get into heaven, which is that's the best place there ever was, ever will be. And it's just amazing, full of peace, joy, and health, and victory, and prosperity, and joy. There's two qualifications to get into heaven. Number one, you have to believe in Jesus. The Bible says that. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But we know that's not the only qualification to get into heaven, because we know the devil will never get into heaven, and we know the devil believes in Jesus. He knows that Jesus is real, just about as intense as anybody does, because Jesus went down to hell and kicked the snot out of him. Praise God. And so the devil knows Jesus is real. He believes that there was Jesus. He believes Jesus died on the cross, and he saw Jesus raised from the dead. But that's not the only qualification. The other qualification is you've got to receive the Lord. The Bible says you must call on his name. You must invite him in. He'll knock at the door, but you've got to let him in. Anybody in here with heads bowed and eyes closed, you can say, I'm not sure I would go to heaven, but I sure want to go to heaven. I'll tell you, Pastor Mike, I do believe in Jesus. I do believe that he died and rose again, and I do want him to come into my life. With heads bowed, eyes closed, we won't embarrass you. If there's anybody that wants to receive Jesus for the first time and know for a fact that you're going to heaven someday, would you just lift your hand high in the air? We'll have you put it right back down after you do that. We don't want to embarrass anybody, and we don't want to rush this either. But if there's anybody at all that wants to receive Jesus, lift your hand high in the sky. If you've already done this before, you don't need to do it again. Anybody at all before we close? Father, we praise and bless you. We magnify and glorify you, and we honor you. Father, we thank you for your mercy. I see no hands, so we trust we're all walking with you, born again. But by chance, if somebody isn't, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Lord. And Father, we'll make sure to give you all the praise. We'll make sure to give you all the glory. We love you this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, no Wednesday night, and we'll see you next Sunday at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.
Now here with us, the sound of praise, all in the name Jesus Christ, the one who saves, the shout of the King, the Son of God, your presence now here with us, the sound of praise, all in the name Jesus Christ, the one who saves. My soul proclaims your greatness, Lord, rejoicing in my Savior. Your mercy belongs to those who fear your Son. His blessing you have given them forever. And holy is his name. Holy is his name. You alone have done great things. I can't boast of anything. Mighty one, King of kings, Jesus. You will love the His blood.